So the destination of this coach is Hazard, Kentucky. We'll do there at 5:15. For your convenience, there's a restroom located in the rear of the coach.
You gonna get sick? Huh? Oh my God, he's coming at you!
Alright, when it comes to 2-year-old Olivia James, you are not the father.
You've irritated the tool gods. You must now be smeared with the holy grease of disdain.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. It's JG's Radio Free Insanity with your host, James Gutman. Yo, Gutman, what's the ish?
What's up, guys? That is exactly right. My name is James Gutman. You are tuned in to JG's Radio Free Insanity right here on WorldWrestlingInsanity.com. The day this is going up is Friday, April the 28th, 2006. And guys, yeah, you're listening to a good show this week. I'm telling you right off the bat. Part one, we're going to be joined on the phone line just in a few minutes by Figure Four Weekly's Brian Alvarez, good friend of World Wrestling Insanity, also one of the authors of the book, The Death of WCW, also published by ECW Press, which is what our book is going to be coming out under the banner of. So yeah, Brian Alvarez is going to be joining us on the phone. We're going to talk a little bit about the Palmer Cannon JBL situation, a little bit about TNA. Yeah, always cool to have Brian on. Then in part two, we're going to switch gears a little bit and get somebody who's a little bit different than Brian Alvarez. I mean, I'm sure maybe there's some similarities. I know, for example, that Brian Alvarez wants to kill B. Brian Blair as well. Maybe, I don't know. But Iron Sheik is going to be in part two of JG's Radio Free Insanity right here this week, guys. Iron Sheik became famous again. I hate to say famous again because the guy is really a legend in this industry. He's a WWE Hall of Famer. He's a former WWE World Champion. He was in the Olympics. But yeah, recently, a video got out about him talking about Brian Blair really going off on it. And one of the things about the Iron Sheik is that, I mean, he doesn't hold back at all on anything. So you ask him his opinion, and you're going to get it. So you guys are going to have to hear that. A lot of people looking forward to this. I've been looking forward to this. So it should be cool. Brace yourself, kids. We have a lot going on. Real quick on the site, in case you guys get a chance to check it out, we just added RSS feeds. So if you have Yahoo, if you have some sort of site where you can stream your headlines, go ahead, grab our headlines. You can put them on your site, and then they're always there, and they're always available. You can click on them whenever you want. So if you're familiar with that, we got them. Figure you might be happy. So that's pretty cool, too. All right, guys. Flap, flap, flap. Yep, yep, yep. Enough talking. Let's bring them on the phone line right now. All right, guys. Here he is from Figure Four Weekly, Brian Alvarez. Brian, what's up, buddy?
How's it going?
It's going good, man. How is life over in Figure Four world?
Oh, at 10 o'clock in the morning, it's all right.
It's, yeah,
it gets better as the day wears on.
You get the Cali sun, though, man.
Huh?
You get to sit out there in the Pacific Coast sun.
Oh, yeah. The sun here obscured by thick black clouds.
Well, there is always that. I mean, it could be worse, though. It could be where I am, and you have to smell Staten Island when you get up in the morning.
That would be worse, yes.
So, yeah, I mean, a lot going on. I was actually listening to some of the Wrestling Observer Live that you and Dave do, and one of the big topics that you guys had going on was Palmer Cannon and the John Bradshaw-Layfield incident that we talked a little bit about kind of the hazing getting out of control and all that. And you had said it's going to get to the point where it's going to be beyond management's duties to really step in. Someone's going to really kind of go buck at one point. What do you think it's going to take for somebody like Bradshaw to finally settle his ass down?
What it's going to take, I think, is a lawsuit. And the reason I say that is I look back at Bradshaw's history. This is obviously not the first person that Bradshaw has targeted. He's targeted guys, girls, you know, rookie wrestlers. He's even targeted some guys that have been there for a while. A lot of hazing stuff. And you have to remember that he went to Germany, goose-stepped, and got fired from his job at Fox News, I believe it was, or wherever.
CNBC.
CNBC, okay. So, he got fired from that job, and now he's got the deal with, is it Fox News Now? I believe it's Fox News Now. He's got that deal. He's got the radio show, the John Bradshaw Layfield Show. He's working at thestreet.com. He's got all these jobs out there in the real world, and, you know, one lawsuit is going to endanger all of that.
Oh, yeah.
And you would have think that after being fired from your first MSNBC outside world job, you would maybe think twice about acting like an eighth grader. But obviously he doesn't, and he keeps doing it. And Vince McMahon's not going to step in. Vince McMahon loves him. And pretty much the feeling is that JBL's bulletproof. But, you know, being bulletproof in the carny world of pro wrestling and being bulletproof out in the real world are two absolutely different things.
Yeah.
And I expect something to happen.
Well, I mean, I think the irony with Bradshaw, I mean, you mentioned all the things he's been on, and I totally see that. It's funny because here's this guy. He's well-spoken enough that, you know, these real news outlets are willing to hire him, even though he's a wrestler. He's got a great stock portfolio, I guess. I don't get into his...
Well, till his divorce, but yeah.
Well, he has half a good stock portfolio. But the thing is, here's a guy that, for all intents and purposes, should be the poster child for professionalism in wrestling. Like, if any wrestler you would expect to be professional is Bradshaw, and he actually epitomizes everything that, you know, you wouldn't think that he would be. That kind of that wrestling kind of low-grade, carny, recess mentality backstage. It's almost mind-boggling.
It amazes me that somebody can be so smart and also so stupid at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
It's really how it hits me. I mean, like you mentioned, he's got the stock portfolio. He gets quoted on shows all the time talking about his picks. I mean, he's done, aside from the divorce thing, pretty well for himself. He had some issues there, but... You know, there's a lot of things where he seems to have a very stable head on his shoulders, and then he just goes off and does something so stupid.
Yeah.
And it is. It's amazing.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Bradshaw, what kind of always got me, you know, about Vince McMahon being his buddy, one of the things, and I was talking about this on the message boards for our site, is that it's almost like Vince needs the JBLs and the Bob Hollies of the world to kind of foster that childish mentality backstage so that the wrestlers continue, as Vince Russo said when he was on the show, to be boys and don't really think about, you know, the grown-up things that should be happening. I mean, there's real things out there that people discuss, and whatever side of the fence you fall on with drugs and wrestling deaths and things like that, I mean, when people are worried about, you know, I better put my bag over here so Bradshaw doesn't shit in it, or, you know, I better shake hands with that guy when he first comes into the arena, it kind of takes the brunt off of guys like Vince McMahon to have to worry about his troops uprising.
Well, I think the thing is, it's always going to be a carny business, but JBL's problem right now is sort of similar in some ways to Randy Orton's problem, and that is that, you know, JBL's been in the business, obviously, longer than Randy Orton, but Randy Orton's father was in the business, and he learned a lot from watching his father, and I think both guys want to live a 1970, 1980s lifestyle in pro wrestling. But you can't do that in 2006 in a publicly traded company. It's a completely different... It's just completely different. And I think that there's still aspects of being one of the boys in pro wrestling that you can do in 2006. In fact, we just saw... I don't know if you saw the YouTube video of Cena and Umaga and everybody chopping in Johnny Jeter.
Yep.
I mean, you know, I don't think Johnny Jeter's going to file a lawsuit. He got chopped. But, you know, that's one thing you could still do, is sort of weird little initiations like that. But when it gets to the point where, obviously, it's gone over the line and guys are quitting... I mean, the thing with Palmer Cannon that I mentioned on Sunday is, this man survived Deep South Wrestling, and I've been told that that was just the disaster of all disasters in the WWE system. And he went to Europe, which would have been his biggest payoff of all time, and in his career. And whatever JBL did, it caused him to not only want to fight JBL, and everybody I've talked to has said great things about Palmer Cannon. He's a nice guy, very respectful, this sort of thing. He was to the point where he wanted to fight a man, and he went home and quit. This was more than getting chopped in. This was something serious. And I don't know, it's just, you can be one of the boys if you want to, but you also have to realize where you're at in the environment these days, and JBL and Randy Orton have had a problem with that. Randy Orton got suspended. JBL is not, but he probably should.
Yeah, well, you know, it's funny because, I mean, a lot of the wrestling fans who aren't really, you know, they don't know a lot of the hazing rituals that go on, you can kind of break it down to almost like when you're picking on someone with your friends, you know, joking around, you're laughing, blah, blah, and there's always that one guy who just takes things that one step too far, and the next thing you know, everyone, oh, dude, that's not cool. And it almost seems like, for some reason, every time JBL, especially when he leaves the freaking continent, he goes nuts. Every time they get off of here, they go on any overseas tour, and he just goes buck with what he has going on. Now, you talked about Randy Orton. Randy Orton's in a position now where, you know, he's kind of, it's one of the more public kind of suspensions they've had in a while. What do you think his position now is going to do for him long term? Do you think it's going to really affect his psyche, or do you think it's just going to make him bitter in the long run?
Him personally, or well, here's what I think is going to happen. Mm-hmm. When the suspension first came down, I talked to people that the day it was announced were saying it's just 60 days. That's what is being said, but this is an indefinite suspension. It could be much longer. He may not be back. It sounded very serious. But a week later, he had that great match on SmackDown with Rey Mysterio. And then the next week, he had a pretty damn good match with Angle. He only had about 10 minutes, but it was a very good match. He worked very hard, didn't even do a lot of the goofy selling, that sort of thing. He had something he wanted to prove, and he was sent home. And you have to look at also now, they're very thin on top on the SmackDown brand with heels. And they're also losing Kurt Angle. Not permanently, but Kurt Angle, he's complaining of neck issues, and I think that's not what it appears on the surface.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure he is hurting, but there's more to that story.
I mean, it's been hurting for years, so at this point, to really make us think about it, there's got to be more going on with it.
Yeah, I mean, when Kurt Angle complains that he's hurting, his head has either been detached, or there's more to the story. I think there is more to the story, but regardless, he's going to be off the road, probably only doing TVs, that sort of thing. So, you're losing a top star, and I think that in 60 days, actually it's even less now, it's less than 50 days, you know.
Yeah, I think
April
12th was a day, right?
Yeah, less than a few months. I think that if he lays low and doesn't do anything profoundly ridiculous, like rape somebody or some horribly public incident, I think that on day 60 he's going to be back with a vengeance, pushed very hard. And it's just, I look at how Vince McMahon operates, and you have to assault Vince McMahon and accuse him of sexually harassing you in order to not be brought back.
Oh, nails.
Yes. Yeah. Everybody else, if you look at, I mean, they did a whole DVD on how insane the Warrior was, and half the DVD is showing all the times he returned.
Mm-hmm.
So, Randy Orton's getting another chance, unless he does something really stupid. And, you know, as long as he, I don't know if he's undergoing therapy, I know they wanted him to, but if he can somewhat control himself, they're not giving up on this guy. He would have to screw this up himself for it to be over.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, Randy Orton's got, and that's the funny thing about him, is that he's got more talent than so many guys they have on the card. If there's anybody that they really should try to work with the most they can to get him working right, it's a young guy who's got the kind of talent that he's got. And, I mean, I think the irony of the whole thing, too, is that, you know, we got a guy like Bradshaw, who gets away scot-free with it, with almost everything that he does, and then a young star like Randy Orton now is in this position. And it's almost like, I mean, you got a lot of people just questioning where the rules are and who the rules apply to.
Well, there are no rules as part of the problem.
Yeah.
It's just whatever goes. And, you know, it used to be, the people used to use the term Wild West, the wrestling life, that sort of thing. And like I said, I think some people still want it to be like that nowadays, but you just can't do it that way. So people need to learn.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, I think a lot of things change, and we kind of all just move on. I mean, speaking of moving on, not moving on, or however you want to see it, let's talk a little bit about TNA. Right now, kind of focusing their top tier. They had Sting. They have Scott Steiner, who is doing his thing, too. And at the tapings, I don't want to give away any spoilers to anybody out there, but we'll just touch upon it now. They brought in Lex Luger, Buff Bagwell to be part of the show, but it kind of seemed like, overall, Bagwell and Luger weren't brought in to be top names. They were kind of brought in to almost kind of get fans to think that they were focusing on older names, and in the end, it ended up being something pretty cool. Yeah, again, don't want to spoil it. What do you think about TNA's direction right now and how they've been since moving to Thursdays?
I'm going to have to see the show, but, you know, just reading that they brought those guys in, I was like, why? Well, what? I can't see any... I mean, they tried bringing in Luger to put over AJ Styles. I mean, that was the whole idea the first time they brought Luger in was, you know, we're not going to build around Lex Luger, but we can use this star's name to get AJ Styles over. Mm-hmm. That was a huge mistake, and it didn't work. And I'm not sure why it would work a year later after the guy's been in jail for 6 months. I don't know. You know, it's it doesn't seem like a wise idea. And I don't know when they came up with the idea to bring the guys in, but it reeked to me of desperation, particularly coming off that Thursday rating. The first show on Thursday night, I loved the open.
Uh-huh.
The stuff with Daniels and Joe was awesome.
During it, yeah.
And then it went all downhill. And to me, the whole deal with that Impact show was you're following your biggest lead-in of all time. Ultimate Fighter's going to do a huge final quarter. Mm-hmm. Your job needs to be to hook these people for an hour and hopefully make fans out of them. They hook them for the first 15 minutes, and then all those people turned off the show. And this week, and I think a lot of that was just the way the shows are put together. I mean, it's not just me, Dave. It's a million people. I'm sure you said it. The show's just, there's too much stuff going on.
Mm-hmm.
There's too many faces. I guess it's fine if you know everybody. I mean, you know, there are times when I'll be doing my radio show, and I'll talk about something that I don't understand. Why did Larry do this, or something of that nature? And I'll have somebody email me with an answer. But it's like, they know the answer because they are the hardest core TNA fan in the whole world.
Exactly.
And I follow everything, and I still don't know. And I can't imagine how a casual fan would watch this show with all these faces and everything happening. So anyway, that was the first show. Just too much stuff going on. I thought that was a failure. So it was even worse the second week. Second week, they didn't even have a hot open. It was just the show started. There's Tanae and Don West. Here come a bunch of Canadians. There's Scott D'Amore. They're doing an anthem. And Ultimate Fighter went off the air at a 2.25. And... TNA started at like a 1.20. They lost a full ratings point with the Canadians coming out and everything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the worst part is, it fell from there. The second quarter was a 0.9, and then the third and fourth quarter was a 0.8,
yeah.
Which is so far below their average. And that's with Sting on TV. That's building up the cage match, your final build for the pay-per-view. And to me, that just, it points out what a failure the booking of the TV has been, because there's no way it should be like that, and it is. They've still got the same 700,000 viewers and the same 30,000 buyers they've had since Fox Sports Net, when nobody was watching.
See, you know what amazes me about the whole situation is, I think the biggest complaint that people have, and the performers there and the people who watch it, it's a one-hour show. There's so much to get in and so many people to introduce, and I get that. But then what cracks me up is that as they're trying to find spots on this one-hour show for all the people that they have, they're continuously bringing in new people. I mean,
yeah.
Raven comes back, and now, you know, we mentioned, you know, the two guys, Bagwell and Luger, debuting on Thursday this week. And it's just like, you don't need any more names. You have your names. You just have to use your names and continue to build up on the TV time they have. You give a guy TV time once a week for 3 weeks, that's going to be equal to you know, introducing three new people, probably better than introducing three new people within 3 weeks.
Can I swear on this show?
Yeah, go fucking crazy, man. I have Iron Sheik on an hour, too. He's going to come in and teach you respect and make you humble.
By the way, I'm so unhappy with you for getting the Iron Sheik on. I want this man on my show so badly. But anyway, what I'm going to say is the one-hour thing is bullshit, because I have watched, and this was before Paul Heyman came in.
Uh-huh.
I watched Ohio Valley every week when Jim Cornette was in charge. They had a one-hour show. And without fail, Jim Cornette made that one-hour show work. And there were shows where when it was over, I was so much more excited to see a main event at the Kentucky Kingdom Six Flags in Louisville, which I was not going to be able to watch, than I was with whatever WWE was putting on TV. And to go in a different direction, the show before TNA, Ultimate Fighter, is 1 hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched that show, and they've got 1 hour to build up a fight. I realize you're not paying for this fight. It's a free fight. But by the time that fight's in the ring, you want to see that fight. And I guarantee that if they have 12 episodes, there are more fights I would have paid to see than I will want to pay to see in 12 TNA pay-per-views. Because they understand how to use their hour.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's actually the argument that I'm getting now with you, because I agree with you. I think you could do a lot within an hour. I mean, I grew up watching TV, you know, the one-hour show. WWF Challenge had jobber matches, and that hour felt like 7 hours. Like, I mean, they fit everything into that. I think the problem that the TNA has is that they don't want to do that. They don't seem to want to have a focus for their show. It's a matter of how many people can we get on the screen at once, and how many people can we give 4-minute segments to, 3-minute segments to, just to get their face on there, and then once we don't have enough time for the people we want to feature, let's bring in some more people, and then throw them together for no reason. It just seems like not only no direction, but kind of like, you know, let's throw all of our cards on the table and see if anybody likes any of them.
It's Vince Russo is basically what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've just heard it from so many people, and it's mostly people in some way associated with TNA, was we need more than an hour. And I just keep saying, no, you need to figure out how to use an hour, because it's bad enough watching an hour show that's a train wreck. I don't need to watch an hour and a half show
uh-huh.
that is a train wreck. When TNA had 2-hour pay-per-views every Wednesday, I mean, was that a big improvement over what we've got now?
No.
No, those shows seemed 8 hours long.
Yeah.
I sat through those shows and I was like, how long has the show been going on? It's impossible this can only be an hour and a half. It has to have been 3 hours. But it's just, and I don't think that they need to recreate WWE, but the one thing WWE does is when their shows are over, you know exactly who you're supposed to care about mm-hmm. and what the big angles are for the pay-per-view. Without question, you know exactly what the money matches are. In TNA, you never know. Everything's supposed to be a money match. And when everything's supposed to be a money match, nothing ends up being a money match.
I agree with you. All over the place, man. And so that's what's sad about it, because a lot of times when you watch the pay-per-views, and WWE has this problem too, the pay-per-views themselves actually end up playing out okay. Like, you watch them and people are genuinely, oh, I was so surprised, I wasn't expecting it to be this good. But it seems like TNA and WWE both have the problems that you go into their pay-per-views like, oh my god.
You don't care.
Yeah, and then once they happen, you're like, oh, I'm pleasantly surprised. But while they think that's a victory, what they don't realize is if people are pleasantly surprised with every pay-per-view you do, that means that your build-up for them sucks, you know?
Yeah. And who cares if everybody that bought it liked it? They bought the damn thing.
Yep.
The idea is if you didn't buy the show, you're not really going to know it was a good pay-per-view, because you're just getting word of mouth, you didn't see it yourself. And the people that bought the pay-per-view with a bad build are the people that are going to buy every pay-per-view.
Uh-huh. Oh, exactly. Exactly. And then pleasantly surprised doesn't really do anything for anybody, because it's all said and done at that point. And you know what? If they're online reading that people are pleasantly surprised, the chances are they're going to be online downloading it. So I don't know how much revenue that's going to bring in, just because they surprise people.
Yeah.
Totally, man. All right, Brian, man, before I let you go, why don't you let everybody know what you got going on over there and how they can become a part of the Figure Four community.
You can be part of the community by just going to f4wonline.com. We've got a ton of free content every day. We've got news updates. We've got 2 free radio shows a week, the Tuesday Brian and Vinny Show and the Friday Figure Four Daily. TV reviews, columns, all sorts of stuff. And in addition to that, we have a members area. Basically, if you love the radio shows and 2 a week is not enough, if you sign up, you can get basically 7 shows a week. So you're looking at 30 hours of audio every month if you've got an iPod, if you've got a long commute, that sort of thing. We will take care of you in the car. Not in that way. We'll take care of you. And, of course, the Figure Four newsletter as well. 20,000 words of news and information. All the wrestling companies around the world every single week, plus an archive of 150 back issues from the last 5 years, 150 radio shows from the past 3 months. Tons of stuff. So check it out, f4wonline.com.
Beautiful. Brian, man, thanks for being on, bro.
All right, thank you.
Brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.
Awesome stuff, guys. Yeah, Brian Alvarez, very similar, World Wrestling Insanity. Kind of lighthearted view of things, but really, I mean, in this business, so many things that happen, while insane and while funny and while kind of cool to pick fun at, are quite serious. And, Yeah, it's funny. Mick Bockwinkel, on one of the first shows we ever had here, I remember I talked to him off the air, and I said, yeah, I said, what we do is we present wrestling news, we present wrestling kind of views and analysis, but we don't take ourselves too seriously. And Nick said, he goes, you always got to take things seriously in this business. This is a very serious business. And it really is. I mean, it's people's lives. And that's one of the things I really do enjoy about Figure Four. Kind of the same attitude that we have. It's a serious industry, a lot of real things happening, but yeah, always try to kind of keep things a little more lighthearted than coming down on you with an iron fist. So yeah, Brian, always great to have him on the show. Somebody who embraces the insanity of the professional wrestling industry. Now, speaking of insanity, I'm not going to plug the book. You thought I was going to plug the book. That's in part two. It's time for your moment of insanity. You guys voted for it. The readers got together. You go to the message board. You send over emails. And you vote away for the moment of insanity. And you know what? I can't imagine what it could be. Well, there's a little hint in that line. So if you could figure it out, well, I scream, man. I scream for the moment of insanity.
All right, JR. Time for your colon surgery, and everyone, man, I'm Dr. Heine. I want you to meet Nurse Slobberknockers.
Yeah, it wasn't my fault.
Fear is only a four-letter word.
The world's largest love machine, Viscera.
Woo! As voted by you, the readers of WorldWrestlingInsanity.com, it's this week's Moment of Insanity.
Hey, what happened?
I have an official red card for carbon action 2-inch earrings while airing.
No, shoot your eye out.
Yeah, guys, in case you couldn't figure that out, well, then you need to work on your listening skills, because this week's Moment of Insanity was Kane, Glenn Jacobs Goodnight, pulling the eyeball out of the Big Show. What? I said yes. Kane pulling the eyeball out of the Big Show. For those of you guys who don't know what I'm talking about, there really isn't too much backstory to give you on this one. Glenn Jacobs, Kane, Dr. Yankum, whatever you want to call him, The Undertaker's unburned, bald little brother, has a new movie coming out called See No Evil. It was originally called I Scream Man, E-Y-E, Scream Man. For those who don't know what the movie's about, Kane basically plays a psychopath, I guess loosely based on Mr. McMahon, and his thing is that he's really into eyeballs, digs eyes a lot, likes to eat them. I don't know what his character does in the movie, but he's into eyes. Now, Kane, with his movie coming out, WWE is working on a big cross-promotion between his character on air and his character in the movie. I've been kind of saying this from the beginning. They've turned into a storyline. Really smart idea, too. Kane goes insane when they say May 19th. That's the date that the movie comes out. And he keeps saying, you know, May 19th, everyone's going to know on May 19th. They're all going to know. They're all going to laugh at you. So, yeah, he flips out. He doesn't like to hear the date of his movie release. Smart move on WWE's part, because everybody knows the date of Kane's movie release because he goes crazy. So it kind of keeps it on your mind. So that's cool. But WWE is also trying to kind of work this angle where I guess it's going to turn into Kane's on-air character echoing his movie character, maybe saying it was based on real life or something. But yeah, so last week, or on Monday, which is technically this week, but maybe last week, depending on when you're listening to this, the Big Red Machine decided to confront his partner, former partner, the Big Show. Got in his face, and no, actually, the Big Show confronted him. I came up to him and was, like, sniffing him and stuff, and just weirdness. And, you know, what's going on? And, you know, and Kane was just like, you know, didn't want to hear any of it, and said, don't say that date again, you know, and he warned him, don't say that date again. Didn't actually say, you know, if you say that date again, I'm going to pluck your eyeball out, but no, he said, you know, don't step, pal, you know. So Big Show, you know, says May 19th, and Kane goes buck, and just starts pounding on him, then reaches into his head, I guess, and pulls, and then blood came out, and Big Show, laying on the ground screaming, he pulled my eyeball out. And that was the angle. So I was lying. There's not too much backstory on this. Kane pulled out. Big Show's eye. All right. It's not bad. It's not good. It's insane. You don't really have too many eyeballs plucked out on the air in wrestling. I mean, that's always been a big thing, and I think anyone who hears about that old school style of training, these wrestlers from the 70s and 80s, you know, when I came up in this business, I was trained by Crazy Luke Maroney out in Minnesota, and he plucked my eyeball out, and it rolled across the floor, and he stepped on it, and he told me he was going to break my ankle, and then he beat up my mother, and that's how I got trained to wrestle. It's kind of the same story here everywhere, but it's very rare that you see somebody's eye get plucked out on TV fake, which is what happened with Kane and the Big Show. Now, I like it to a point. I like the crossover with the movie. I actually like the movie. I talked about this in my Insanity report on PW Insider. I'm probably going to see the movie. I actually like the way it looks. I know a lot of people are saying it's a wrestling movie, but it's not really a wrestling movie. It reminds me a lot of Saw, a lot of The Grudge, and movies like that, kind of those low-rent, and people are going to write me letters. Kind of those, not really a huge budget, not a lot of special effects, but gritty, grimy horror movies that people are into, and I like stuff like that. I don't mind being, scared shitless for an hour and a half. I'm cool with that. I like the crossover. I like the idea for the movie. I like the May 19th thing. I don't know about pulling Big Show's eye out. I think that might be a little hokey at the end of the day. Also a little concerned about where they're going to go with this. If I guess Big Show now is going to have an eye patch. How bad is that going to suck? I mean, it's going to be kind of like the thing where he's just slowly they're going to keep fucking with his character. And I'm sorry I said the F word, but as you guys know, in part two, not safe for work, so don't sweat it. They're going to keep messing with his character over and over again, plucking his eye out. I mean, by the end of it all, Big Show might be the guy who takes over Kane's spot as being the insane gimmick angle person. I mean, Kane has been involved in some of the craziest stuff on TV, between Katie Vick and Lita and all the nuttiness that he's been involved in, and Shane McMahon and setting Jim Ross on fire. Might be Kane's turn to hand it over to the Big Show. And let Big Show do it for a while. And who knows, maybe a year from now, Big Show will have two eye patches, a fake leg, a big cone growing out of his head, and they'll be like, Joey Styles, oh my God, he hasn't been the same since that cone came out of his head, and it'd be awesome. But who knows? Who knows where they're going to go with this? But I think it was kind of silly, confusing as to what they're going to do with it, because he didn't say, and one of the guys pointed this out online. Actually, New World Order, let me read you guys one of the things here. He says, more than sounding is the Kane and Big Show eye thing. He said, had Show screamed, he tried to pull my eye out, instead of he pulled my eye out. It wouldn't have been insane at all. But WWE really painted themselves into a corner with that one. Exactly. You don't exactly pop an eyeball back in. They can't be like, Big Show got surgery. Although, and we get back to Kane on all this, Kane fell into a flaming dumpster. Kara, Vince's son. And he was back the next week, and he's like, hey, everybody, I'm doing good. A little hot, but, cool. And, no one really questioned it. No one was like, why isn't he burned to death, Kane's fireproof. It's weird. No. So, it wouldn't be inconceivable for one day WWE to be like, Shawn Michaels had God put Big Show's eye back in his head, so God bless the Big Show, and everyone's happy. But who knows? If they're going to follow it in logical progression and really have him have no eye, this could get strange. So gear up, folks. Big Show, eyeless. Wonderful. But that's this week's Moment of Insanity, guys. Crazy, really kind of the thing where we got a lot of emails on this one, too. But a lot of people just saying, Big Show and Kane's eye, enough said. That's pretty much, there are some weeks where we get it like that where there's really not too much more to say about it. And in fact, there is nothing more to say about it. Kane pulled out Big Show's eye. Moment of Insanity. There you go. Remember, guys, you can vote now for next week's Moment of Insanity. Anything that happened in wrestling, TNA, WWE, any promotion, go on, vote for it. If it's crazy and you saw it and you thought it was nuts, then vote for it. Maybe a rant will be read right here on the air. So be sure to include more than just enough said if you want to hear it read out here. But guys, so go ahead, vote away. You could vote for it in the Insanity forums on the website, or you can drop an email to insanity@worldwrestlinginsanity.com. So now, on that note, we're going to head over to part two. We're going to go, we're going to be joined by the Iron Sheik. And he's going to break your back, teach you a little bit of respect, but I think you guys will definitely enjoy it, guys. The Iron Sheik, part two, don't get lost. Go find it and click away. We'll see you there. We'll
brought to you by WorldWrestlingInsanity.com.